Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, May 25th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. On the memorial of St. Bede the Venerable, the Benedictine priest and doctor of the church, I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks for making us part of your morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, today is day 7 of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit. Each day, we've been praying for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, we ask for the gift of understanding. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps Christians in a state of grace to grasp, according to their mental capacity, the meaning of the truths of our Catholic faith. On Thursdays, I always take a moment to remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Which reminds me that on this day back in 2014, my son Joseph Dominic received Jesus for the first time when he made his first Holy Communion at the Institute of Christ the King in Chicago. I say a short prayer on the back of his first communion card at Mass every day before receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Thursday morning?
Well, more and more folks want to serve you from the White House. That's right. They want to be president this time. It's who's seen as the biggest challenger to Donald Trump so far on the Republican side. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis took to Twitter to try and make this announcement last night.
We must end the culture of losing that has infected the Republican Party in recent years. The tired dogmas of the past are inadequate for a vibrant future. We must look forward, not backwards. We need the courage to lead. And we must have the strength to win. And to voters who are participating in this primary process, my pledge to you is this. If you nominate me, you can set your clock to January 20th, 2025 at high noon, because on the west side of the U.S. Capitol, I will be taking the oath of office as the 47th president of the United States. No excuses. I will get the job done.
Glenn, there were some glitches along the way.
Well, he tried to make an announcement kind of in a different way on something called Twitter Spaces there in a conversation with Elon Musk and so many people trying to listen in, kind of one of those break the internet moments there a little bit. But the campaign now underway for Mr. DeSantis.
They did break the internet. There were apparently so many people getting on that it just crashed. And DeSantis didn't actually start talking on that broadcast until about 40 minutes after it was supposed to start. The battle has begun. In fact, the attacks began right away from both sides of the aisle. President Trump basically saying that he's not ready for prime time. And President Biden saying that DeSantis, alluding to his the crashing of the website, saying, "Hey, click here. This link works." So a little bit of humor there.
Yeah, looking for ways to poke at him, not only to poke fun, but poke at him as he's seen as the primary challenger. Both to of course for the Republican side to Mr. Trump, but also maybe one of the most dangerous Republicans for Mr. Biden. And so the heat will come early and often.
Well, there was plenty of heat last night in the NHL Eastern Conference Finals. Matthew Tkachuk's third game-winning goal of the postseason came with less than 5 seconds to go. It was pretty amazing. Listen to this dramatic ending as heard on TNT as the Panthers are headed to their first Stanley Cup final in 27 years.
Going back.
You Yes, that was it. There was 4.9 seconds left for Tkachuk's game-winning goal as the Florida Panthers complete the four-game sweep of the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals. This is the first playoff series sweep in franchise history, and so they'll be waiting the winner of the Vegas Golden Knights-Dallas Stars series, which is still not over. So really exciting moment there, Glenn.
Oh, it certainly was. I was listening as I was driving last night. I broke away from the reruns of Patrick Madrid to listen to the end of the hockey game. I may have swerved a little bit when they scored with 4.2 seconds left, but exciting run for Florida. They beat Boston, who had the best record in the regular season. They were not favored there. They beat Toronto, not favored there. Now going on to beat Carolina, not favored there. So we'll see. And with a big lead of 3-0 in the West, Vegas over Dallas, we'll see who they face next.
Yes, anybody who's been to a Stanley Cup playoffs knows how exciting playoff hockey is, and that truly was a great moment. Meanwhile, on a much lighter note, today is National Tap Dance Day. Sarah, you know a little bit about tap dancing.
I do. When I was younger, that was one of the classes. I took a little ballet, a little toe, and a little tap dance, which is a fun thing to do. You know, you just think of all the fun tap dancing routines from when it comes to like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and all these fun musicals. It was just so cool to watch. I mean, their feet are, they make it look so easy, but it is not that easy. And John, I know you have a little experience with tap dancing.
Well, just for fun. I never even took lessons, but I remember when I was a kid, I used to try to imitate Fred Astaire. I couldn't dance up the side of the wall like Astaire used to do, but boy, I used to goof around and try to do my little tap dancing. And you know, it's actually good if you're a baseball player. If you can tap dance, that gives you better feet.
Many players like to tap dance. I know, we don't talk about that a lot. But I just want to thank you guys for making me feel a little bit cooler today. Even though I had accordion lessons as a kid, I feel a little bit cooler today.
This is what I'm thinking. Now, maybe in our intro, we have a lot of little baseball kind of background noise for John. But maybe I should add a little tap dancing sound effect. And now that we know, this is one of his secret talents.
I can hear that in the near future.
I think I'm much better at doing voices than I am at tap dancing. All right. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Sure thing.
We begin every morning always in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on social media, on Twitter. Our handle is @MorningAirShow, as well as on Facebook. If you want to send us an email directly, if you have any thoughts or any story ideas you want to run by us, it's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as you may know, because it's pretty tough not to hear about this, it's been all over the news. The crisis over raising the debt limit continues this week with a June 1st deadline straight ahead. To put it in perspective, the federal debt ceiling was raised in December of 2021 by $2.5 trillion to nearly $31.4 trillion, which lasted until January of this year. Teams from the Biden administration and Speaker McCarthy's office are still working to come to an agreement to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a default. Speaker McCarthy said yesterday that he feels good about the progress they are making to try to strike a deal, but still no deal. Now, the question is, what does this debt ceiling mean for us? What can we learn from the federal government's mistakes so we don't find ourselves in the same situation? How can we keep ourselves within our own family budgets? Joining us live this morning is Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com, to discuss this this debt ceiling saga and how it relates to all of us. Howard Dvorkin is a serial entrepreneur, a two-time author, a CPA and personal finance contributor to Forbes and Entrepreneur.com, and a community service champion. He's appeared as a finance expert on national, local television and radio programs, including CBS Nightly News, ABC World News Tonight, The Early Show, Fox News, CNN, and many, many others. Good morning, Howard. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John, and happy tap dance day.
How'd you like that?
So many interesting things when I listen to your show. So thank you for having me. And you know, it looks like a little tap dancing is going to go on in Washington over the next few days to try to get this budget fixed.
But, well, I was thinking about you, Howard, because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, who can we talk to about this saga that's been going on now for several weeks? Actually, it's been thought about for months. And, you know, like usual, you know, this movie seems to end at the last minute.
John, it's been going on for several years, maybe decades. It's a stupid ritual is what's going on. I mean, they do this last minute deal and the world goes on. Unfortunately, the United States remains in debt and it gets worse and worse. And it's a very big threat to our national security. We don't have to worry about terrorists around the world, hey, you know, doing weird things to us. We don't have to worry about disease. We don't have to worry about viruses. We got to worry about being beholden to our enemies because they are going to own this country if they don't already. We have to put this country on a diet and stop spending money in stupid ways. And we need to allow a change, a massive change. And basically in Florida, where I live, the state law prohibits our ability to spend more than we make, than we bring in revenues. We can't do it. The United States government has to have a similar rule put into its constitution that says you got to live off of what you make. You can't keep being in debt. Eventually you hit a brick wall. And unfortunately, it's going to affect all of us. I mean, not having a strong economy or not having or being owing trillions of dollars to others outside the borders of this country is going to have a profound effect for decades and many generations to come. We may not be a superpower anymore. I'm going to repeat that. The United States may not be a superpower anymore. I mean, we owe so much money. They're going to kill us if we keep spending money. And Washington doesn't seem to know how to tap the brakes. They just keep spending more and more. And in order to gain votes, a lot of the decisions of spending happen. And, you know, fact is, we can't continue this madness. We have to cut back on things across the board. And hopefully somebody will get into that seat that'll be able to do that. Even under Trump, it didn't happen because of COVID. We spent a tremendous amount of money. And it's also impeding our society because we are a welfare state to a certain extent. We're paying people to stay at home and not work, which is diluting the values that this country was built on. People need to get back to work. People need to focus on what's important and stop. The politicians need to do their job. Unfortunately, they're continually trying to protect their $200,000 job in the United States Congress and at the sacrifice of our children's future, which is unfathomable and unforgivable.
I'm with you. I want to bring in our listeners, any of you early birds, if you have a question or comment on our nation's debt limit saga, for Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of debt.com. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Howard, can you give us some perspective on how our nation got to this point? Right now, the debt is at over $31 trillion. I've heard some talk that in the next 10 years, it could swell to $50 trillion, which is like mind-boggling.
Oh, it'll definitely continue to grow. I mean, how did we get there? Stupidity. That's how we got there. I mean, the fact of the matter is, during the pandemic was incredibly expensive. We added to the debt. Now, during times of crisis, I get it. You got to spend more. But why now? We're not in a pandemic. We need to go back and fix what we spent on and these stupid programs. We're sending out trillions of dollars to people, to countries that don't agree with us, that don't like us. I mean, every year there's a list of stupid things the government spends money on. Why do we send money to China? Why? They own the United States. I mean, all through the country, the Chinese and different countries are buying up pieces of our country. Literally, they're buying farmlands across the country. And actually, Florida just passed a rule that they can't do it any longer, which I'm not sure is technically constitutional. But somehow, we decided to pass a law.
Not to mention that during the pandemic, we became so dependent on China for so many things, including medicines.
Well, medicine, chips, everything. I mean, we are a country of debtors. What made this country great was we didn't owe anything to anybody way back when. Now we owe our future to foreign powers. That is a problem. You know, what we've got is we need to put this country on a diet. And basically, this country needs a debt consultant such as myself.
That's why we got a hold of you, Howard.
No, I mean, listen, maybe every politician should study the debt.com website and learn how it's not that hard. Don't spend more than you have. That's the rule. Rule one. Don't get into debt, because you're going to have a tough time getting it out of debt. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's not impossible to dig out of debt, whether you're the United States government or you're a person. You just got to spend in a reasonable manner. You got to buy necessities that make, you know, continue your life, but you don't have to be extravagant. And unfortunately, these people that are running this country right now, they're not paying attention. They are not paying attention. They're making decisions that are good for their careers and not for the better good of the United States of America.
Howard, do you have any doubt that they will at the last minute come up with some kind of a deal? There's word that Fitch Rating has placed the U.S. AAA credit on a so-called rating watch negative status.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind they're coming up with they're coming up with a solution. The question is, how deep are the cuts going to be? We shouldn't be spending like there's a pandemic, because when there's another national emergency, that's when you break out the wallet and the credit cards. Not now. Not now. I mean, the fact of the matter is, politicians continue to spend money that we don't have in order to secure their jobs, and it's just not right. I mean, we are doing things that we shouldn't be doing, and certainly when you equate that to the average American, you and I, John, average guys, we will go through, and we know in our heart of heart, we shouldn't be spending this kind of money. And we know we need to figure out a path out of this. Trump, although I question some of his tweets and what he said, you know, his policies were right on target. Stop spending money. Now, he increased the federal budget because of the pandemic, because they spent so much money under his watch. However, he had it right. We got to stop. We got to get the United States back to a superpower. There is no doubt in my mind that we will balance the budget or increase the debt, and the politicians will work it out. However, there has to be a long-term master plan, or we're all going to be in trouble.
Howard, final moments. Can you give us a tip on what we can learn from the mistakes of our federal government and how we can do a better job with our own finances?
Well, the fact is, don't buy stupid stuff. I mean, what more do you need to know? Do you can you get away with buying and driving a Ford Explorer versus a Range Rover? Can you go and not take four trips a year? Can you live with two trips a year? At the end of the day, it's simple. If the money's not in your pocket, you shouldn't be buying. You shouldn't be spending. If you don't have cash, don't spend. Credit cards. Credit. When you put things on credit, you're spending interest. So whatever you buy is going to cost you more. And it, in terms of credit cards, it'll cost you probably average 20% more. So anything you buy, go out and have a great night with your family. You spend $100 and you use your credit card. Well, guess what? If you're carrying a balance, that meal at the end of the year cost you $120, and it continues because the credit cards are designed to keep you in debt. And that is something that is going on in this country. When you're paying out trillions of dollars in interest every year to the people you owe, you're never going to get ahead. And this is a lifelong lesson. You got to spend what you earn. Now,
I'm with you. We're just about out of time. Our nation has to go on a national diet, and we could do likewise at the local level in our own homes. Howard, I really appreciate your perspective. It's always great to be with you.
Hey, John, God bless you. God bless the United States. And I think we need to pray a little to make sure that we get out of debt. And thank you again always for having me on.
Amen. And of course, you can go to debt.com for much more and many, many tools on how to get out of debt. Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of debt.com here on Morning Air. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic speaker Daniel Bean, the host of the Girlfriends podcast, will join us to share 7 ways to get motivated to exercise. Speaking of diets, stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Thursday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Monday, 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 always Sunday, in the rich man's world. Oh.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
A little tribute to the late Tina Turner, who passed away yesterday. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in, being with us on this Thursday in the 7th week of the Easter season as we continue to get ready for Pentecost Sunday this weekend. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. This is one of the most powerful verses in sacred scripture. Jesus the Lord wants us to trust Him with all of our hearts. Christ promised that He would be with us always, and through the Holy Spirit, He is always there for us to lead us in the right path. And this is why we always pray with great confidence, that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in You. Our number, if you want to be part of the show this morning, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, we're coming up on Memorial Day weekend, which is considered the unofficial start of summer. And that means that we're already nearly 5 months into this year of 2023. So the question is, how are your New Year's resolutions going? You remember those? Was exercising one of them? Oftentimes, you hear about how working out or doing physical activity is not only good for our body, but it's also good for our soul and our mind. Are you finding yourself having very little motivation to exercise, or maybe you just think you're just way too busy? Joining us live from New Hampshire is Morning Air contributor Danielle Bean to share 7 ways to get motivated to exercise. Danielle is the creator and host of the Girlfriends podcast and co-host of the Gist on Catholic TV. She's also the author of several books. She's a retreat leader and a popular speaker on a variety of subjects related to Catholic family life, education, marriage, and motherhood. Danielle has been married to her husband Dan for 28 years, and together they have 8 children. Good morning, Danielle. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again, and I love this topic this morning.
Yeah, some people might be rolling their eyes like, please don't bring up those New Year's resolutions, right? But I think it's a good time of year, especially where the weather is changing in most parts of the country, where maybe you're able to get out more. And you know, this is a time to reconsider how much we're being physically active in the day, because we all know it's important. And yet sometimes we get very busy and it can be, go down very low on our list of priorities.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners hearing your words and thinking, yep, that's me. you feel like you're just too busy. You don't make the time. You don't make it a priority. Can you put into perspective for us why exercise is so important and we have to find some way to do it?
Right. I mean, so like you said, it does not only affect us physically. I mean, make an appointment for a checkup with your doctor, and I'm sure he or she will, you know, reiterate that for you, just how much you need to physically be moving in your days. But it also affects us spiritually. It affects our moods. It affects our work and our relationships with others. Truly, it's one of those things, one of those basic tenets of our day, like prayer, that can put all the other things into proper perspective and helps to uplift all those other aspects of our lives. Those things we're so busy doing that we care so very much about, we will do better when we are more active in our days. And so, I mean, we'll get to some of the details in a moment, but it doesn't have to look like one particular thing. And I think maybe that's the obstacle for a lot of people, is we have this idea of what our ideal exercise routine should look like. And maybe it's very involved. And, you know, so just knowing that it doesn't have to look like one particular thing, really just thinking, instead of thinking I need to fit in a certain exercise routine each day, although it might look like that for some people, rather think, how can I fit more movement into my day? How can I be more active in every hour of my day? How can I be walking more, using stairs more? You know, those kinds of very basic things are very doable.
We have contributors here on the show that actually run marathons, and not everybody's called to that level of training or fitness, but everybody right. can do something. I know you have 7 tips, 7 ways to get motivated to actually do some exercise. Let's talk about the first way.
Yeah. So first, I just say, just take a 15-minute walk. You can do this, you know, unless you're physically disabled or sick, then you can walk for 15 minutes. And, you know, so I think sometimes just giving ourselves permission to call that exercise is a really great first step, because sometimes we're just getting, you know, we're kind of ruminating about, oh, we're beating ourselves up for not being in good shape and that not making this a priority. And it feels overwhelming. Like you might know that friend who's training for a marathon and compare yourself to that person and always feel like you're coming up short and that it's unattainable. And yet make your goal something much smaller and more attainable. Go for a 15-minute walk. See if you can fit that into your day, whether it's first thing in the morning, during your lunch break, or maybe with your spouse or your kids or a friend after dinner. Find a place in your day where you can take a 15-minute walk. So often when we're kind of ruminating about these things and beating ourselves up over these things, we really become very anxious about this idea of exercise. And truly, the antidote to anxiety in all aspects of our lives is action, taking action. And here's one small thing you can do. One small literal step in the right direction is taking that 15-minute walk. And it really can get the ball rolling, can open up your heart and your mind and your body to all of the ways that this is going to benefit you. And that can be the first move toward something larger that you might take on with regard to exercise in your day.
And some people can multitask. They can walk and maybe say a few prayers or maybe even pray a part of the rosary while they're walking. Or if they're a pet lover, they can take their dog with them to keep them company.
That's right. That's right. I think looking for ways to do that makes a lot of sense. One thing that I've done periodically through the years is my kids, when they were little, used to call it walk and talk. And I would, you know, take one of them along and you could just talk about whatever's going on in their hearts and their minds. And one of the beautiful things about going for a walk is it kind of removes you from your daily circumstances, whether you're taking a walk at work or if you're at home going around your block or whatever you are. It pulls you away from all of those things that are attempt to distract you, whether it's your laptop or your phone or, you know, the laundry machine buzzing at you, all of these things. So you could do that or do a walk and talk where you call a friend, somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while. Make it a great opportunity to reconnect with somebody, and the minutes will go by before you know it.
What about putting on the headsets or the earpiece and then maybe listening to relevant radio or listening to your favorite show?
That's right. Get that relevant radio app fired up. And I think that's a great way to kind of motivate yourself and entertain yourself through it. But I think more often than not, I like to just have the quiet. And, you know, some people will vary in how they feel about this, but it's actually very nice to kind of just listen to the sounds of nature. We forget sometimes, because many of us spend our days indoors, that we're actually not built to sit in an office, right? We're not, God didn't make us to live in a living room. He made us as a part of the natural world, and reconnecting with the natural world, whether it's on a brisk fall day or on a hot summer day, is really a wonderful, very humanizing activity in your day. So spending just a few minutes doing that can be a really great energy booster as well.
Well, Danielle, I think it's so sometimes comical how the good Lord plans these shows, because I think you're supposed to be on the show to remind me about the importance of exercise, because I get so busy sometimes. And I love exercise. I mean, when I'm out there, I love, you know, even just going out with my son to the park and hitting them fly balls and grounders, because he's a big baseball player. Just getting sweaty and jogging a little bit and getting a little workout in, it feels good.
It does. And I think we forget that, right? And so that's why doing that one first thing, taking that first move, a little bit of action can remind you of all of those benefits. I kind of compare it to, you know, some people have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. And the times when I do have trouble getting up in the morning, if I'm feeling extra tired and tempted to hit that snooze button, I just remind myself that other times when I've gotten up even very early in the morning when I'm very tired, within a few minutes of being awake, you're fine. You've adjusted. You're enjoying your day. And so just learning to kind of get past the pain point of making that first move, I think, is really key for a lot of people.
The grace of God works really well for me. I get up at 3:45 every morning. But the joke is that the grace of God doesn't work on the weekends.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, Danielle, let's talk about the second way to get motivated.
Yeah, I suggest that people offer it up. This is something we forget, right? We as Catholics believe in the power of redemptive suffering. Every single thing that we suffer in any way, even small things, we can offer up. It has great value, so don't waste it. Look for something that you can offer it up for. Maybe you have a special prayer intention, something you're really going to God and asking for in your life right now, something you're really struggling with. Maybe you have someone very close to you that you care a lot about that you're worried about their health or their finances or their emotional well-being, you can offer up your workout for somebody. And I know one woman who did this in an amazing way. We don't all have to go the max the way that she did, but she was a great runner. Like you mentioned, the marathon runner, she was along those lines, and she was, you know, going on great big long runs every day. And she would collect prayer intentions from friends and family, and she would write them on little pieces of paper and put them inside her shoe when she was going for these runs, and just keep these people in her mind and in her heart, and was praying for them and offering up for them throughout her run. And this can really be a very motivating thing with whatever you're attempting to do, whether you have a very high fitness goal in mind or even just beginning, you know, going through those painful first moments of getting established in an exercise routine in your day, something that the body kind of can feel sluggish and can resist. Pushing through that can be uncomfortable. So look for a way that you can offer that up. Bring it as part of a prayer request to God, and you can recognize that it has infinite value in that way. What a beautiful way to connect in among the communion of saints. God wants us to be praying with and for one another, but also to be connecting with God in that way, recognizing every part of our day has value and we can be offering it all to Him.
I love that suggestion. And in fact, I think that if you do it for our Lord, you do it for Jesus, you're supercharging your workout because you have an extra motivation. You're not just doing it for your own vanity.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point to make, because sometimes people aren't going to be motivated by their own vanity anyway. And that's probably a good thing, right? They're like, well, I'm not going to have a beach body, right? Well, it's not about doing that, right? It's really about taking good care of your physical self, of the body that God gave you, which is a tremendous gift. Being a good steward of that and doing that, offering up the pain or the discomfort of doing that for the greater glory of God. What a beautiful gift that is. And it can pull us away from some of those smaller ways that we're sometimes feeling, pulled toward vanity.
Well, we have a number of other suggestions to go. I want to invite our listeners, if you have any other ideas on ways to get motivated to actually exercise, if you have a tough time finding the time to exercise, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls. For Danielle Bean, the host of the Girlfriends Podcast, the co-host of The Gist on Catholic TV, you can be part of the conversation here this morning at 888-914-9149 if you want to chime in, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Danielle. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. Triple 8 914 9149 is our number as we continue our conversation about seven ways to get motivated to exercise with Morning Air contributor Danielle Bean, a Catholic speaker and the host of the Girlfriends Podcast. Danielle, we have a caller who is up really early out on the West Coast. Joe is joining us this morning from San Francisco. Joe, good morning. Welcome to the show. You're on with Danielle Bean.
So she mentioned action, and the word action, I broke it down into act, I on, action, A-C-T-I-O-N, I act on. And then you have the motivation to just do it, I act on. The other thing, too, she mentioned about the greater glory of God. On my license plate, I have Latin, A-M-D-G, for the greater glory of God.
Awesome. Are you working out? You're up pretty early in Frisco.
No, I'm on my way. I have an hour commute, San Francisco to San Jose. So I'm on my way to San Jose. Do you know the way?
I'm with you, Joe.
I like that. I like that, Joe. Yeah.
I love it.
So I've had two people in 5 years see my license plate is SI, which is St. Ignatius, and then it's AMDG for the greater glory of God. In 5 years, I've had that license plate. Two people have pulled me over and asked me what that meant.
We're kindred spirits. My license plate is Illinois John 1:1, for in the beginning was the word.
Well, that's great. But thank you so much for your program. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. Danielle, any thoughts? Yeah, it sounds like we're having a little issue with Danielle's connection. But, you know, we've been covering some really good points that she's been bringing up. You know, it's so important to just start, just do something, you know, get going, even if it's something as simple as just going for a walk. Anything is better than just sitting around and doing nothing. And so we definitely have to have that kind of motivation that we want to get things going. And sometimes the first step is really important. Danielle, you back with us? Apparently we do not have Danielle as we're trying to reestablish our connection. Sarah, I want to bring you in here real quick while we're trying to reconnect with Danielle. You know, in this job, you can get so busy that it's so easy to forget about simple things like going for a walk or doing some kind of exercise.
You know what, John? To be honest with you, if I didn't have kids, I probably would never get any exercise because, yeah, you're just moving from one spot to the next. You're constantly moving, constantly thinking about what's coming up, what's around the pike. And, yeah, you can eat. That's one of the first things that falls off along with prayer. It's those things that you have to kind of schedule in. You have to motivate yourself. You have to say this is important and it has to be important because, you know, those are building blocks. You know, the building blocks to relationship with Christ is prayer, and a building block to a healthy life is exercise. So you just kind of have to build it right into what you're doing. Otherwise, yeah, it's not going to get done.
You have to not only build it in, but make it a priority. In fact, you know, they say that sports is a metaphor for life. Well, so is exercise. And I think it just like it's challenging to get off the couch, get off your chair and actually get out there and do something. It's the same thing with the spiritual life. You got to make a decision to make a decision to get going. So maybe today's the day. Today's the day to go for a walk if you're listening.
Yeah, no, it can be challenging, that's for sure, to try to make sure that you motivate yourself. You know, it's hard to stay motivated at the same time because I feel like, you know, you get on track, just like, you know, you mentioned at the top having that, that the beginning of the year, you say, hey, these are my goals. And then a couple weeks in, you forget all about your goals because other things have gotten in the way. So what are the things that you got to do, John? What are the tricks that maybe you have to try to, you know, get back in there and jump back on the horse when you've kind of fallen off?
I think it's a matter of attitude. Even if you have fallen off and it's been a while since you've worked out, you start anew, just like in the spiritual life. You start anew and you say, okay, today I'm going to try to do something. And I think Danielle's suggestion is, you know, of starting small, you know, just doing a little something. You don't jump into the weight room and start bench pressing 300 pounds right away. You start out small and you slowly work your way up.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. John, this is such a great topic, and I'm so glad that Danielle was here and that she was able to kind of give some suggestions. I know you have some of the other suggestions that, you know, she's been giving us. And, you know, it's just encouraging, right? Because this is a struggle that we all deal with day in and day out. And it's something that's never going to go away because, you know, the older we get, I think sometimes the more we kind of push that off, exercise and doing, staying motivated, all these things. But incrementally gets more and more important the older we get, because if we're not moving, our body just doesn't stay in good shape. And, you know, in order to stay healthy, we do need to be able to keep, I mean, just that little bit of walk, the walking, just sometimes, you know, you often make, you know, you see this, you know, the people walking around the mall and getting their exercise in. Hey, wherever you can get that exercise is important.
No question about it. And the things that we've been talking about here this morning is based on a podcast and an article that Danielle Bean did, called 7 Ways to Get Motivated for Exercise or to Exercise. And so they're all outstanding. And we're still having a tough time getting her back on.
Yeah, she's having an issue with her phone, and that happens. You know, we all have those
issues.
Live
TV. So
it's live. We're going.
Live
we're
TV.
Rolling with it.
What a Freudian slip. Live radio.
It's live, so we're just rolling with it. And, you know, we thank Danielle because, you know, we need to be reminded. Like I said, these are the greatest things that we need to have to keep stay motivated, because these are so tough. It's so tough, John.
Yeah, I wanted to just share a few other points that Danielle brings up, and she talks about being creative. You know, having creativity. There's more than one way to exercise.
And actually, Glenn, you had some tips that you wanted to share.
Well, I just thought, too, you know, if you have a plan to do it and then you fall off the wagon, with you know, whether it would be a New Year's resolution or whatever, but just start again. So just keep starting again and then look for different ways to exercise, too. You know, I wasn't necessarily, as much as I loved playing hockey as a kid, thought I'd have a hockey rink in my backyard as an adult, but the neighbor is very interested in that with young hockey players in the household there. And so we have a rink that spans both of our yards in the wintertime. And I've gotten more exercise ice skating as an adult the last, you know, handful of years than I did all the rest of my years put together. So look for those unique ways and be open to some things, and maybe a little bit of kind of technically it's cross training because it's something different than just going for the walk or the run, but look for different ways to break it up a little bit and have some fun.
Glenn, you are a good man. I would love to see you ice skating. I'd love to see that. Amy is joining us this morning from Madison, Wisconsin. Good morning, Amy. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, John. To keep motivated, I'm a paramedic, and so I take care of people in not their most opportune time of need, and often when I'm working with patients, I'll ask them, you know, if you could write a letter to your younger self, what would you tell yourself? And so often I hear to take better care of myself. And I'm always looking for how to be that healthier 50-year-old, healthier 60-year-old, so that when I'm 70, 80, I can still, God willing, have an active life. So that's motivation for me.
Awesome. Thank you, Amy. We have to remind ourselves that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we only have one body, so we really need to use it and to do some exercise, which is exactly what we've been talking about. You know, one of the other points that Danielle brings up is keeping track of what we do, and I think that that's super important. You know, if you write it down and you have a systematic way of keeping track, I think that's a good thing. What do you guys think?
Well, I think that motivates you, right? And just says, hey, you know what? I'm accountable to this. And also, if you have a list, it feels really good to scratch that off the list. So I know I'm constantly trying to keep lists of things I need to remember to do. So if I'm putting in there, hey, remember to go play baseball, remember to play volleyball with the kids, remember to go to the park, remember to, you know, then I can cross it off and be like, we did it. So it's like kind of like a little mini victory lap.
No doubt. You know, full disclosure, when I was a young kid, I was a baseball player and a runner. In fact, I once ran 500 miles during the summer between junior and senior year to get ready for cross country. And so I kept track of it every day, wrote it down. And I think that is a really good suggestion. One other suggestion is that forget all or nothing. It's not just all or nothing. Every single little bit counts. So even if you just go out for a little walk, even if you just do a few push-ups or sit-ups, anything to be moving is a good thing.
Yeah, no, every little bit does count, right? Because, I mean, really, you don't climb the mountain until you take little steps when you first start getting going. So it's important to keep that, because sometimes it just seems like overwhelming, like, oh, gosh, I'll never get there. But, you know, if we just start off small, we'll get there.
Absolutely. And one other suggestion, find a friend. If you can do it with a buddy, if you could do it with a good friend, I think that there's something to be said for accountability. So if you want to read Danielle Beam's 7 Ways to Get Motivated to Exercise, just go to ascensionpress.com. And now, once again, it is time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called Adrift by Adam Kahn. In 1982, Stephen Callahan was crossing the Atlantic alone in his sailboat when it struck something and sank. He was out of the shipping lanes and floating in a life raft all alone. His supplies were few, his chances were small. Yet when 3 fishermen found him 76 days later, the longest anyone had survived a shipwreck on a life raft alone, he was alive, much skinnier than when he started, but alive. His account of how he survived is fascinating. His ingenuity, how he managed to catch fish, how he fixed his solar still to evaporate seawater to make fresh water, very interesting. But the thing that caught my eye was how he managed to keep himself going when all hope seemed lost. When there seemed no point in continuing the struggle, when he was suffering greatly, when his life raft was punctured, and after more than a week struggling with his weak body to fix it, it was still leaking air and wearing him out to keep pumping it up. He was starved, desperately dehydrated, thoroughly exhausted. Giving up would have seemed the only sane option. When people survive these kinds of circumstances, they do something with their minds that gives them the courage to keep going. Many people in similarly desperate circumstances give in or go mad. Something the survivors do with their thoughts helps them to find the guts to carry on in spite of overwhelming odds. I tell myself I can handle it, wrote Callahan. Compared to what others have been through, I'm fortunate. I tell myself these things over and over, building up fortitude. I wrote that down after I read it. It struck me as something important. I've told myself the same thing when my own goals seem far off or when my problems seem too overwhelming. Every time I've said it, always come back to my senses. Truth is, our circumstances are only bad compared to something better. But others have been through much worse. I've read through enough history to know you and I are lucky to be where we are, when we are, no matter how bad it seems compared to our fantasies. It's a sane thought and worth thinking. So here, coming to us from this extreme edge of survival, are words that can give us strength. Whatever you're going through, tell yourself you can handle it. Compared to what others have been through, you're fortunate. Tell this to yourself over and over. It will help you get through the rough spots with a little more fortitude. And from Philippians 4:12, St. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in wants.
Great wisdom from St. Paul, as always. Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, we're going to be joined by Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, who will tell us about becoming the parish that God wants us to be. Plus, our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, will be with us to talk about celebrating the great feast, the Solemnity of Pentecost. So stay with us. Much more to come on this Thursday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.